Good evening. Sure good to be back and see everybody. I just want to start by saying it was a really good trip. We all had a lot of fun. Brother Eddie took very good care of us. The first event that we got to be a part of, we were part of the organization of a church. And that day that we had planned to baptize 40 people, and I think during the service, 10 more came forward for baptism. And Alex is going to kill me for saying this. I don't know if you've heard this or not yet, but they started calling him the Anabaptist because he had to rebaptize somebody. He baptized this woman, and they didn't get her all the way in.
Oh, that's a no-no.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to. So Brother Eddie is trying to explain to this woman how she has to get back in the water and she has to be rebaptized. Well, she sits down in the water and throws herself back in the water. She was ready. Well, she starts to get out again, and Brother Eddie's like, no, no, wait, we got to baptize you. So poor Alex, he caught some stuff the whole trip for that. They called him the Anabaptist the whole time because he had to rebaptize. But The services that we got to be a part of are something like I'd never seen. And a lot of it's culture. They're a very enthusiastic people. So they have two different categories of song. They have praise and they have worship. And I wish I had brought my phone up here. I was going to let you all hear a song that a young man sang. But the way that they sing these songs and they dance and they just, everything they've got in their bodies, they give it to the Lord when they're worshiping. One thing that I noticed while we were teaching, Chat, Phil, Aaron, and Alex, all of us were teaching lessons, and they're an hour and a half long. And I was never able to fill the hour and a half just because that's a long time for me to teach. But the whole time that we're teaching, these young people are glued in, and they're paying attention, and they're looking at their Bibles, and then we would split up into males and females, and then that's when, you know, they don't ask a lot of questions, because after every lesson, we would ask if anybody had questions, and when they're in the big group, nobody really had questions, but when we split off, there was a lot of questions, and some of these kids had really thought-provoking good questions. But one thing that's funny over there, too, is they amen some, but when you make a good point, you get an applause break. They clap for like 15 or 20 seconds. So I expect, Brother Steve, we need to give applause breaks to you when you're making a good point instead of amening. But it was an amazing trip. I learned so much, and most of what I took from the trip is how much we take for granted. This was my first mission trip. A lot of you all in here have been on mission trips, but you know, we take a lot for granted. Food, water. I mean, we met a pastor that walks 3.5 miles on Sunday morning to preach to his congregation, then he walks 3.5 miles back in the desert heat. I mean, that's dedication to the Word of God. Some older ladies that were broken down and crippled, they walked 1.5 miles, I believe Brother Eddie said, to each church service. So these people are very dedicated. They only have one service on Sundays because sometimes it is such a long way to these churches for these villages. But they live in these things called bomas. They're palm leaves, and they're round. And they're not very big. The biggest one I saw was probably, you know, 12 foot in diameter around, maybe a little bigger than that. And they'll have different ones for prepping food, one for living in, one for setting in when you have company. And then they make a fence around it. It's those palm leaves. They make a fence so that they can put their livestock in it and keep their livestock safe at night. And the women are in charge of building all that stuff. The man's job is to tend to the herd, and that's it. The woman builds, she cooks, she gets the water. And one thing I'll mention about the water, I've got a picture of these ladies kicking these barrels around. We were at the very first service when we were doing the organization, and me and Aaron were standing there, and we heard this tumbling sound, and it kind of sounded like a helicopter way off in the distance. And we were like, what is that? There's no way there's a helicopter out here. Well, about 3 or 4 minutes later, we saw this little boy walking, and he had a rope tied around his waist, and there was this big yellow barrel behind him, and it was rolling. And he's just walking toward where we were at. And what it was is they take these barrels and they cut them to where they'll slide back and forth on each other. And then they take another smaller water barrel, they'll put water in that barrel, and then put those sides back on it and tie the rope to it so it'll turn. Well, while it turns, that sediment falls to the bottom, and that's the water that they drink. And it's bad. But they drink it. I mean, it's the rainy season there now, so water was more prevalent than it usually is. But just to see how faithful these people are and how much of their hearts they give to God and how much they worship God with hardly nothing. I was telling class last night, I did the devotion last night. You know, Nicole, we sat down and we prep for the next week. She goes to the grocery on Friday for what we're going to eat all of our meals the next week. These people don't know what they're going to eat till they wake up in the next morning. You know, they don't know what they're going to eat tomorrow till they wake up and they figure it out. So they certainly rely on God for every single thing that they have. And it was a humbling experience. Like I said, I know a lot of you all have been. For me, it was the first time seeing stuff like that. And I kept talking about the different things that I was seeing to Brother Eddie, and he made the comment to me. He said, you know, what's interesting to me is most of the time when people make their first trip over there, they can't see past the poverty because the poverty is very bad. But they were so joyous and they were so happy in serving God, it was easy to see past the poverty. And I just pray that we as a country can be more like them, because we take a lot for granted. And we don't, you know, I'm not saying the singing and the dancing and the jumping around, but man, they're a faithful, faithful people. Brother Eddie told us on the second day of the trip, he said, you'll notice something. He said, I will put the faith of my churches to any church in the United States. And he cares that much about his churches. And he loves his pastors. And he's doing a wonderful work over there. And we support him. Mount Hebron supports him. And it's not in vain, because he's doing a very good work. And he works really hard. I don't see how he works so much, but he does. And the pastors, to see the relationship and the respect that the men have for him. Like I said, this is all new to me, so I'd never seen this before. So it was something to see these pastors and these kids. They just, a funny story I'll tell you, I had a hat, one of my company hats that I wore over there. And one of the boys that I got really close to, his dad is a pastor and a translator. He can speak very good English. And all of his sons can speak good English. And this boy's 15 years old, but he ain't about this tall. Some of them are really small people. And he kept pointing at my hat, and he was like, man, I really like your hat. And I said, you know what? You can have my hat. I was like, it's the only one I've got down here, but you can have it. Well, about 20 minutes later, I see him walking through the schoolyard, and he doesn't have my hat on. And I said, Meshach, where is my hat, man? And he said, my brother Philip took it, because he's got an older brother. And down there, there's no way that a younger sibling is going to get a gift from an American. The older sibling is definitely going to get that gift. So it broke his little heart, and I had to give him one of my wristbands that I had on. But they're a very loving people and appreciative. I can't tell you how many hugs we got, you know, just from, and it's not, women don't hug men down there and men don't hug women. But the men would come up to you and, you know, shake your hand, and then they go to the left and to the right. It's different. It's not like a two-arm hug down there. But it was a wonderful time, and I can't wait to go to Belize with Brother Steve and experience Belize. It was, like I told them last night, I still haven't exactly wrapped my mind around the whole experience and been able to really articulate it, to be able to put into words what all it was. I experienced so much. We've only been back a week. It's kind of hard to put into words everything that I saw and everything that we did. It was just a really cool experience, and I can't wait to go on my next one. I love you guys, and I missed y'all a lot. Thank y'all for letting me share.
Everybody needs to go on a mission trip. Lamentation 3:51 says what? Mine eye affecteth my heart. Until you see, I don't think you'll ever see. Now, we've got a trip planned in hopefully like the last week of July, first week of August, and we're planning one the 1st of January. So, Unity Baptist people, if you want in on one of those trips, or one's going to be a church camp, one's going to be a VBS trip. So, maybe be thinking about that. January for sure is cold time. July's not real hot in Belize. I didn't say real hot. On Tuesday nights, I have Bible study with my Belizean. Used to be just pastors, but now there's about 65 or 70 Sunday school teachers and church workers that join in and study with us. I come across a passage last night in my study. I just want to share this with you tonight. We need to have a quick business meeting before we go home tonight. So go with me to the book of Daniel, Daniel 10. I think I seen Anita and Deborah on there last night, so you might hear some of this last night. But I could not get over some things that was in chapter 10 of Daniel, in Daniel's prayer life. Now, Daniel's 84, maybe 85 years old when this takes place in Daniel chapter number 10. Daniel's been getting these visions about the end times, and they've just been overwhelming him because he's seen what was coming, and he saw how his own people was not following the Lord and what was going to happen to them. Talked about the Antichrist. So Daniel's getting all these visuals, and the angel Gabriel's been explaining them to him. Daniel 8, Daniel 9. I mean, we that study prophecy, we love Daniel 9. Seems like we can find out when Christ was going to be born pretty close, or at least to when he was going to be killed, by reading Daniel chapter 9. But Daniel chapter 10 was kind of between visions. He gets a vision, and it's overwhelming to him. And Daniel begins to pray. And I want you to see the prayer life of Daniel. And I want you to think about your own prayer life a little bit tonight. You know, we go down and have special prayer before services, and we try to have more than one prayer during the service, and we got prayer chains. But I don't know that we really go to God like we need to. Like desperation go to God. Like I need this bad. And you're going to see Daniel tonight in that. And God's going to open up a visual of something that you and I forget that's going on, that maybe we need to be reminded of tonight. So read with me. Just I'm going to jump a little bit. I don't want to waste your whole night reading this whole chapter. You go home and read it. But it tells us that, verse number 2, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Anybody ever mourn 3 weeks? I'd say, yeah. I know people in here that has. I think that's okay. We've done that. But watch this. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself, that simply means bathing, at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, my first glance at that, I say that it looks like Daniel was doing some fasting. But I think it was deeper than fasting. He was depriving himself of things. Now, I want to challenge you with something. You can do it or not do it. I think sometimes, Brian, it's good to give something up just for a time frame, even if it's not bad. Just so you know how much power the flesh has over you. Give up coffee if you're a coffee drinker. Some of you are like, well, I'll have to leave the house if she gives up coffee. Or he gives up coffee. I'll get a headache. You would. And there's nothing sinful about coffee. But what Daniel was saying is, I deprived myself of things because I really needed an answer from God. I was seeking Him. Now, that, I think this is deeper than a fast. It wasn't just like I wasn't eating something. He gave up a lot of things and was depriving himself of things that normally we say, I don't see the big deal in giving that up until you give it up. Y'all nod with that? Now watch this. The Bible tells us in verse number 5, he was beside a river. It tells us in verse 4. Verse 5 it tells us, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. The body was like a beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words were like a voice of multitude. Now, I'm not going to bore you to death, but go home and read Revelation chapter 1 when you get home. It's almost exactly the description of Jesus. And I think we forget sometimes that Jesus has always been. It's not a Bethlehem thing. He was in the beginning. I love John's account of Jesus. John doesn't give his birth from Mary. He says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. John lets us know that when everything was starting in the book of Genesis, Jesus was right there. And he appeared many times to people. Now, it wasn't the Jesus of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because that Jesus took on human flesh. Thank you, Brother Paul. I think everybody else is like tapped out. But he did. He took on human flesh. He was 100% man, 100% God. But I want you to know something. He always has been. And he's always came to people's aid. I think Jacob very possibly wrestled with God, or Jesus himself. I think that Joshua, before he went to fight the battle of Jericho, was out there by the wall one night. He said, are you friend or foe? He said, I'm captain of the Lord's army. Who you reckon that is? Three Revelation, Jesus is the one on the white horse, right? The fourth man in the fire, Daniel, chapter 3. Who was that? Nebuchadnezzar said, it looked like the Son of God or Son of Man. So, I think Jesus appears to Daniel. He's downtrodden. This is not my lesson for you tonight. I just want you to see how long he'd been praying. The Bible tells us that he fell to his face. He face planted. And another angel came up and told him to get to his knees. Get to the palm of your hands. Stand to your feet. And hear the words. Now, go to verse 10. I'm almost there. And behold, a hand touched me, and which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken these words unto me, I stood trembling. All right, let me catch you awake again. Daniel's had a vision. This vision's overwhelmed Daniel. We'll read it soon. It's next time we ever get to the book of Daniel, chapter 11. All right, that's when we're going to find out about that vision. But tonight it was not about the vision. It was about the prayer life. How about that? I'm not going to walk down after it. So tonight's not about the vision. It's about the prayer life. Daniel's overwhelmed. The Lord comes to him. He gets him up. He stands upright. He tells Daniel he's beloved of God. Isn't that good to know? Anybody in here beloved of God? Sometimes we forget that. He loves us. How much? He so loves us, right? You just figure out what so loves mean and that's enough. So now Daniel is about to hear something. He's been praying how long? I want you to get this. He's been praying 3 weeks. He ain't bathed. He's not ate. He's not drunk anything. I mean, he's dead serious about getting an answer from God. And it looks like to me he's not going to quit till he gets an answer. All right, verse 12. He's going to hear the word from God. You ready? Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. From the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. Why didn't somebody tell me? I've been praying how many days? 21. I guarantee he can tell you about every one of them. And this angel appears before me and said, I heard you the first day. And look what he says in this verse. And he said, because of your heart, see? You set your heart to understand and to what? I circled that. Chasten thyself. That's what I told you a while ago is more than fasting. He deprived himself. He's saying, you know what? I'm on my phone too much. I'm looking on Marketplace too much. I'm looking at YouTube too much. I need to get off of that. Nobody's jumping and dancing or even clapping. Is it true? And what Daniel says is, I gave up some stuff so I could get an answer from God. You see how that's different than fasting? He chastened himself. And did you all catch this? God said, I noticed that. I noticed that from the first day when you started coming to me with it. Now here's the unveiling. This is the part that I really want to talk to you about tonight. So all that's got you here, right? Why didn't God just answer him the first day? Why did he want him to go 21 days? Well, read with me. The Bible goes on to say in verse 12 at the end of it, before thy God, thy words were heard, and I'm come for thy words. 21 days later, I'm here for what you prayed. But, verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me how many days? 120 days. How many is that? Here's what I wanted to remind us tonight. We do have opposition. We do have opposition. Ephesians 6, take your Bible. I'm coming right back. Ephesians 6. Let me just remind you. Let me talk to you about the stuff we won't talk about, okay? Because we're Baptists and we don't talk about this stuff. But let me talk about this stuff for a minute. There's such thing as demons.
There's such thing as demon warfare. Satan took 1/3 of the angels with him when he left heaven. 1/3 of the angels. God's got angels. Satan took 1/3 with him. What do you think they're doing? Well, preacher, they're in hell. Some are. Some are chained in darkness, it says. But some are just going free. And some of them are challenging God. Now, I could stop it this way and tell you this. God is the ultimate authority in the world. Satan does not stand a chance against God. Satan has to ask God for permission. Go back and read Job. Right? Did Satan have free reign? Just what God allowed him to do. God said, you can do this, but you can't do that. So Satan is not an equal opponent with God. But God's allowing him in this world to go after us. I know. I didn't write this stuff. I'm just trying to get you to see, when you're praying sometimes, there's an enemy out there trying to stop that prayer from being answered. Read with me Ephesians 6, and then we'll go back to Daniel. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Everybody did that today before they left home. That you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I thought my enemy was people. I've seen some people in the world today, when I was out there in the world today, they seemed like my enemy to me, the way they were driving and doing stuff. Come on. But he said, that's not my enemy. That's not who you're wrestling with, Steve. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, where? See, I've lived where black magic and voodoo is. And I just tell you right now, I don't know how to explain it other than this, it gives me the heebie-jeebies. I don't like any. There's villages that Rochelle and I have been in that I was glad it's time to leave. Because you could really feel the influence of the devil in that place. I think we have places in our country that are more demon-possessed than other places. You can tell by some of the stuff that goes on. But see, we don't talk about that because we're Baptists and we just talk about the good stuff. But I want you to know there's a real enemy out there and he has real angels and they're really at work. And Daniel had run into it. He's praying. He's praying hard. How many days? And how many days was he opposed? 21. The angel's letting him know this. Look at verse 13. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. This is not physical kings, people. This is really what you're reading. This is satanic attack. And we know who Michael is. Who is Michael? According to the book of Jude, he's the archangel. Now, in my studies, I believe there were three archangels. I believe there's Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. And each one was over a different realm, and these other angels were under them, authorities, right? And that's what Ephesians talks about, powers and principalities. So you got an angel that's battling, and he's not winning, and Michael steps in. Has Michael ever stepped in before? I love reading Jude and then go back and talk about Moses. You know, we never did find Moses' body. Anybody wonder why? Looked like we ought to have had Moses' body enshrined and like carried it around. That's exactly why we didn't find Moses' body. They'd be worshiping Moses' body. But you know what? Lucifer and Michael fought over that, according to the book of Jude. I need some Bible readers in here. Amen. Is that true? It's what it says. They fought over it. Every day, Julia, there's an evil force against us. And when you set out to do God's will and God's work, you will be attacked. But I love what Jesus reminds us. Greater is He that is in you than what? He that is in the world. I've had people, and I don't want to get off too far crazy, but I've had people say, Brother Steve, you think believers can be possessed? I said, no. No. Because there's not room in there for them. Greater is He that is in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. He's not going to allow anybody else to house in there. Now listen, the devil might influence my thinking. Come on. Can he put thoughts in my mind? Absolutely. But here's what Daniel runs into. He runs into an attack. And did Daniel know what was going on? No. But let me tell you about Daniel's prayer. This is what I wanted to get to. Daniel was persevered in his prayer. Daniel had determined, Mom, I'm not going to quit until I get an answer from God. I can say, JT, I've not been that persistent in my prayer life, probably. There have been a few things I've went hard at, but I can't say a lot of things. How about you all? Have you ever just hung in there? I'm not going to give up. I'm not backing down till I get an answer. That was Daniel. He was heard from day one. It just told us. But there was a battle going on. Now, read the conclusion of this story. It tells us this in verse 15. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and became dumb. Can I tell you what he said? He said, I become speechless. I can't speak for Daniel, but when I read this story, I try to put myself in Daniel's shoes, and I'm trying to imagine when an angel came and spoke to me and just made me aware that, hey, we heard you from day one, but I was in the battle that I couldn't win, and finally Michael came in, tapped him out, and I got the message to you now on day 21. How about you all? I'm going to like this. You ain't sharing that at work tomorrow. Y'all believe this happened? I believe, listen, well, Brother Steve, I think this is this one. I don't think this is one of them visions. I think this is real stuff that God just kind of rode back and let you and I see chapter 10 of Daniel and said, hey, I just want you all to know something. There's a real war going on out there. Remember Elisha? Elisha was surrounded. Remember that? And he went and prayed to God. He said, God, he said, open the servant's eyes and let him see. So the servant went outside and he looked and there was chariots of fire all around the enemy. You believe that stuff? I believe every bit of it. I think God's got angels camped out, ready to go at His command on our behalf, and probably has to many of us. We heard a story Monday night about a guy and a lady in a car wreck. And Brother Darius said, I saw the car. And he said, every inch of the car was like totally destructed except a little spot where she sat. Y'all believe that? Boy, I do. I'm like all in. Like, God, disperse some now. Well, let me read the close to you. Verse 18. Then there came again to touch me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. That almost sounds like familiar words to me. Yea, be strong. And when spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. You ever get strengthened from the word? That's exactly what happened here. And if you read on, he says, I got to go back and fight. And he said, oh, by the way, there's another king coming that's going to cause you some problems too. Isn't that good to know you get through this little battle? There's another one. And you get through that one, there's another one. Finally the last battle. Nope, there's one more. But what do we learn through all of that? God's got us. Remember what Habakkuk said? I know who's on the throne. He's right where he's always been. He's got this. And so when Daniel is praying for 21 days, he didn't know what was going on. And I don't know what's going on when I'm praying about something. But here was a question to my class last night. What would have happened if Daniel would have quit praying after 14 days? You know what? I ain't going to get an answer, Owen. I'm just going to give it up. What do you think would have happened? It took 21, Betty. It took 21 days. He heard him the first day, but it took 21 to get that answer. Anything you're desperate of praying for right now? You got anything? Maybe go home and reread this. And just see how desperate Daniel was for an answer. You think we could pray like that? Is it possible? I think so. Let's stand and pray. Brian, let's sing one verse before we do our meeting real quick. Father, Lord, I pause right now. I thank you for the word. And Lord, help our prayer life. We think about Daniel, and we know he prayed 3 times a day when he was told not to. But, Lord, this showed us a little more about his prayer life, how serious he was and how desperate he was for an answer from you. And, Lord, he was weary in the prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us understand there is a war going on. And, Lord, we thank you for Jesus who fights that battle for us. He's in heaven right now defending us. He went to the cross on our behalf to defend us from every obstacle I'll ever face. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, help us be more faithful in our prayers. In Christ's name, amen. What are we singing, Brian?
Page 146. It is well with my soul.
There's a movie that a few years ago called War Room. Y'all see that one? If you haven't, y'all check that movie out. Because that's exactly what this is about. It's about praying during the war that's going on.